Good afternoon. My name is Rachel, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Center for American Progress Action Fund conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Ms. Kelly. You may begin your conference.
Hi, welcome everybody, and thank you for joining us on today's telephonic press conference. My name is Angela Kelly, and I'm the Vice President for Immigration Policy and Advocacy at the Center for American Progress. And we're particularly pleased that we're having this call at this time. Not only is it in advance of yet another Republican candidate's debate tonight, where we expect that the issue of immigration is going to come up again, as it has in virtually every single debate, but particularly on the heels of a Department of Justice announcement today that just concluded a three-year investigation and a very lengthy letter of findings on its investigation of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, which signals, frankly, an enormous vindication for the immigrant and Latino community in Arizona and across the country. They have found a pattern and practice of unconstitutional policing by that sheriff's office, that the jails operate in a way that discriminates against limited English proficient inmates, most likely all Latinos. And there's more investigations to follow, which I think will be very telling. They're going to look into the excessive force, use of force against Latinos, what has been described as a wall of distrust by the sheriff's office in its immigration enforcement program, and very disturbingly, there's going to be an investigation of a large number of sex crimes. So it does appear that Sheriff Arpaio's reign of terror is on its last legs, something that we applaud, and this, you know, frankly, follows on the successful recall election of State Senator Russell Pierce, who is the architect of SB 1070, an anti-immigrant law that passed in the spring of 2010. And, of course, Sheriff Arpaio was one of the henchmen who was implementing that law very aggressively. So we know also that Arpaio is not a stranger to politics. He's not a stranger to the Republican candidates. There's been a very aggressive effort, frankly, by the candidates to get his endorsement, which Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry currently have. And Romney had garnered that endorsement back in 2008. And Arpaio was praising Mitt Romney as early as March of this year. So there are very close ties between Sheriff Arpaio and the leading Republican candidates. So to talk about that in the context also of recent polling that has come out, it seems like there's practically a poll every day on what the public's view is on the issue of immigration. And there is a disconnect as big as the Grand Canyon between what the polls are finding, what the American public thinks on immigration, and how the candidates are talking about it. So the purpose of this call, and we have three terrific speakers who are going to help us better understand this, is to figure out why candidates continue to refuse to listen to the public, and also consider whether this DOJ investigation, which is going to be ongoing, is going to have an impact on the Latino vote going into 2012. So with that, by way of introduction, I'm going to introduce our first speaker now, is Lynn Tremonti, and Lynn is a deputy director at America's Voice and has extensive experience on this issue. Lynn?
Thanks, Angie. I'm just going to give a historical recap of where we are at immigration polling. Many of these polls are available on the website for americasvoiceonline.org, and then the more recent polls are also available on CAP Action Fund's website in a new analysis that they're putting out today. So you can find that there, or feel free to follow up with us afterwards. But for as far back as I go in the immigration debate, there's roughly always been about 25 to 33% of the population that has opposed comprehensive immigration reform and that has, you know, stayed strict with the hardline mass deportation policy. The numbers shift depending on how questions are worded and what area of the country you ask and whether you're talking only to Republicans or to general voters, things like that. But there's roughly that, you know, a minority of voters that oppose what we're trying to do and a majority of voters who support practical, common-sense immigration reform. We've got some polls from, like, for example, Pew Research Center for People in the Press. They've looked at this question over the years, and they found that support for legalization of undocumented immigrants, including a path to citizenship, actually rose between 2007 and 2009. A similar finding came out in the Washington Post ABC News poll from 2009, which tracked the same question over 3 years. So support is actually growing for common sense immigration reform. And this is completely disconnected to the way politicians and pundits in Washington report this issue. So I think what is wrong with this picture? Why don't politicians understand what's behind these polls? Why don't they believe them? Well, it turns out the purveyors of conventional wisdom actually aren't that smart. On most policy issues, they're looking for easy answers. They want yes, no, black, white, either or. On immigration, it's not like that. It's not, are you for enforcement or are you for reform of the laws? As a candidate, you don't have to choose between appealing to the general population or to Latino voters. The truth is, on immigration, it's always both and. Voters want smart enforcement, but they also want reform. They know we're not going to deport 11 million undocumented immigrants and their family members. And quite frankly, they don't want to live in a country that's going to try to do that. This is true of Latino voters, the general electorate, and even a majority of Republicans. The anger that politicians hear over this issue is there. It's frustration. Why hasn't Washington solved this problem? When we have tough problems in our families, we confront them, and we find a way forward. We fix them, and Washington has completely abdicated its responsibility on this issue. They've delegated it to the states. They play politics with the issue every 2 years, but they haven't done the hard work to solve the problem. I think that if they looked at polling and really understood it better, they'd understand that they don't need to choose between political success and policy success. They can have both. Americans want this issue solved, and they support the types of reforms that we're talking about. I'm going to go through some recent polling and just kind of break down some of the questions and why we think there's a false choice being offered by some on immigration. So in late November of 2011, CNN ORC put out a poll of 1,000 adults where they offered this false choice. They said, what should be the main focus of the government's dealing with immigration? Should it be a plan to allow illegal immigrants to become residents or a plan to stop the flow of illegal immigrants and deporting those who are here? 42% said allow them to become legal residents. 55% said stop the flow. That's not surprising. Comprehensive immigration reform is not an either-or proposition. It's a both and at the same time of that poll, a number of other independent polls asked the question in a more nuanced, sophisticated way and really captured where Americans' views are on this issue. So again, in mid-November, Pew Research Center for the People and the Press put out a poll, and they asked, what's the priority for illegal immigration policy? They gave multiple choices. They said, should it be better border security and stronger enforcement, a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants, or both? 43% chose both. 24% chose a path to citizenship in isolation. 29% said security and enforcement. So that means that 67% of the sample is in favor of some policy that approaches undocumented immigrants in a realistic and practical way and doesn't just pretend we're going to deport them all. National Journal in December 2011 put out a very similar question. Again, similar results. 67% chose an option that allowed some undocumented immigrants to stay in the country. And this trend held true across demographic groups, including Republicans, as with every other poll we've seen. Republicans were more likely to choose deportation in the National Journal sample at 33%. Still, 43% chose the middle ground option, and 19% chose legalization in isolation, meaning that 62% of Republicans supported legal status for some undocumented immigrants. Even Fox News has found this to be true. This is it. They're in black and white. We're not making this up. It's there. Also, there were a number of polls looking at Iowa Republican caucus goers, or likely caucus goers, that found very similar results. And I think a very interesting way of approaching it is they asked about Newt Gingrich's stance and whether that would attract or repel you. So the Washington Post and ABC News poll from December 2011 asked this of Republican Iowa caucus goers. When asked about Newt Gingrich's position on immigration, which includes a path to legal status for some undocumented immigrants, 34% of potential caucus goers and 38% of likely caucus goers said it was a major reason to support him, while only 16% of potential caucus goers and 15% of likely caucus goers said it was a major reason to oppose him. Now, none of us on this call are endorsing his policy. It's got a lot of flaws. But what's different about what he's saying that some of the others are saying is that he's saying, let's get real, we're not going to deport every single person. And the fact is, his immigration position was actually attractive to Iowa caucus goers, which is, again, flies in the face of conventional wisdom because people don't take the time to understand immigration. The last point in the either-or push-pull on this issue and understanding the politics of it is immigration an important issue or not? Sure, it's a critical issue for many, but it's not the top issue for most voters, including Republicans. It's not, you know, Republican politicians for years have been trying to use the illegal immigration boogeyman to get out the vote, to, you know, galvanize and organize their base. It's not working. It's only a top issue for 3 to 4% of voters. That's consistent in most polls, and that's including polls of only Republicans. But immigration is an important issue for Latino voters. It's a family issue. It's about whether I belong in this country and whether my mother or my coworker, my friend, can walk down the street without being suspicious or harassed. This example needs to be understood. This shows why cozying up to Joe Arpaio is not a smart political move. He represents everything that's ugly about immigration in this country, and trying to think that he's going to save you or help you, you know, galvanize the voters for you, it's not going to work, and it's going to turn off Latino voters who know that he's the boogeyman, who know that the policies he's been putting forward have torn communities and families apart and turned neighbors against each other, and that's not the type of country we want to live in or that America is supposed to be. So Joe Arpaio is not a smart politician for endorsements for the GOP. They're going to have to face Latino voters in the general election, and it's going to hurt them. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Lynn. Our next speaker is Matt Barreto. Matt is the founder and co-president of Latino Decisions and a leading pollster in the Latino community. Matt?
Okay, thank you, Angie, and thanks, everyone, for being here today. I'm going to run through some recent polling that we've done, highlighting some results from our national electorate polling, building on some of the data points that Lynn has given you, and also a few comparisons to the Latino electorate. You know, I want to start by saying that voters across the nation do not like mean-spirited rhetoric on immigration. This is something that we find consistently in our polling, but we've also found this consistently in election results. You don't have to go back very far to see what happened to Meg Whitman after how she handled the housekeeping scandal and the statements that she made, with many, many independent and moderate voters turning against her in California, or what happened with Sharon Engel in Nevada, with huge percentages of voters turning against her just in the final weeks in the Nevada election, or just in the recent recall of Russell Pierce in Arizona, where Republican voters were rejecting that rhetoric. I can't say it enough, voters do not like mean-spirited rhetoric, and the policies, those mean-spirited policies that go along with them. As a way to frame this, I want to remind everyone that the Republican candidates themselves, every single one of them, are descendants of immigrants who came to this country in search of better opportunities for their family. And this was at a time when there was no such thing as a distinction between legal and illegal immigrants, but rather opportunities in America. And nothing has changed here today except the rhetoric that many of these candidates are using. There's absolutely no question that the anti-immigrant policy and rhetoric that we're hearing today is driving Latino voters away from the Republican Party, including Latinos who themselves identify as Republican. However, what's not understood as well, and I think Lynn has done an excellent job of summarizing this for us, is that this is also driving away the general electorate, that Americans as a whole do not embrace and support this. In our recent poll, that Latino Decisions conducted with Univision News, we released in November of 2011, only 3% of respondents nationally said that immigration was their number one issue and they supported a policy of deportation. There were more nationally, 5%, who said immigration was their number one issue and they supported a policy of a pathway to citizenship. We don't find at any point in time that there is a huge movement, whether it's within the Republican Party or America as a whole, for a deportation or harsh on immigration strategy. Specifically, we asked respondents in our national survey a couple of specific questions about immigration. When it came to comprehensive immigration reform that included a pathway to citizenship, if immigrants met certain requirements like paid back taxes, learned English, passed a background check, etc., Overall, we found 58% of all registered voters in America supported a pathway to citizenship, and only 25% supported deportation. Among Latinos, those numbers were higher, with 67% supporting a pathway to citizenship. When we asked about the DREAM Act and whether or not those undocumented youth who were brought here as children should be eligible for a pathway to citizenship if they attend college or serve in the military or other factors, again, we found among the general electorate, 58% supported the DREAM Act, and among Latino voters, a much higher rate at 84%. But these policy positions are not the only thing that's driving the immigration narrative today. It's certainly the rhetoric is also important. And to get specifically to the rhetoric, very similar to the question about Gingrich's policies in among the Iowa electorate, we asked the national sample two different versions of a candidate, one that was very tough on immigrants and said things like, quote, illegal immigrants are a threat to America who have committed a crime and we can never support amnesty for illegals. And whether or not that statement would make you more or less likely to support that candidate, even if you agreed with them on the economy, which voters are telling us is the number one issue. Well, 41% of all Americans said that that negative rhetoric would make them less likely to support that candidate, and only a quarter, 25%, said more likely. And so there's a clear deficit there of 16 points where that this rhetoric is driving voters in this country away from candidates. Among Latino voters, the numbers were far sharper. Where 59% of Latinos said that this would make them less likely to support, and only 14% said more likely. Finally, we gave a different vision of the candidates, one in which candidates were respectful of immigrants. And a candidate might say something like, America is a nation of immigrants. We need to treat immigrants with respect and dignity, help them assimilate into America instead of attacking them. When they heard that positive statement, 46% of all voters were more likely to support that candidate, and only 15% less likely, an advantage of over 30 points. Among Latinos, this was far and away, with 76% supporting a candidate who's more respectful of immigrants and only 6% turning away. This is especially the case in both of these instances in the national electorate among independent and undecided voters, where we see those gaps even more pronounced. 44% of independent voters tell us that they're more likely to support a candidate who's respectful of immigrants, and 42% tell us that they're less likely to support a candidate who's tough on immigrants, in both cases far eclipsing those who would move the other direction. And finally, as we circle back to the policy debate, we know that a number of the candidates are saying that while in theory a path to citizenship might make sense, we just can't do that right now, because the border needs to be secure. And the president gave this famous speech in El Paso where he joked about the other side would never agree to border security and they'd want to have a moat filled with alligators. Well, we asked this question to the general American electorate, saying, do you think that that's a legitimate concern, that we need to wait till the border is secure before we can move forward? Or is that just an excuse to block action on immigration and to solve the larger problems on immigration? And we found overwhelming results there among the national American electorate. 62% of all voters told us that that was just an excuse to block action on immigration, and only 24% said that that was a legitimate concern, that we could not move forward. In all of these cases, there's majority support for sensible solutions on immigration reform, and there's only a small minority who stands in contrast and takes the hardline stance, even though we hear this being repeated by some of the candidates. And finally, I'll just conclude by saying that the evidence is very clear here from a variety of polls, not just one source or another, that this anti-immigrant rhetoric and policy is driving Latino voters away from the Republican Party, but it is also driving all voters away from those positions. And I think you're seeing that not just in polls, but in real elections, such as those three that I referenced at the top. Thanks, Angie. I'll turn it back over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Matt. Our final speaker is Marshall Fitz. Marshall is the Director of Immigration Policy here at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Marshall?
Thanks a lot, Angie, and thanks to Matt and Lynn as well, and thanks for everyone for being on the call. So now that we've taken a close look and have a really clear sense of where the public is and where the public has been on the question of immigration, I'm just going to briefly sketch out where the leading Republican candidates currently are. Let me start by directing you to a webpage developed by our colleague here at CAP, Ann Garcia, that tracks all of the candidates' statements and positions on immigration and border policy. So if you want to know anything they've said or any position they've taken, you should check this out. A link was, I think, included in the press advisory that you received, and it can be also found at thinkprogress.org. But what you'll notice is that the leading Republican presidential hopefuls have only staked out really the smallest differences in approach. You'll also notice that none of them has been at all shy in declaring how to stop undocumented immigration into our country. Nearly every time they opine on the issue, they offer some boilerplate mixture of recommendations involving more border security, despite the current unprecedented buildup at the border, and they also vehemently oppose amnesty. But until very recently, the candidates had largely avoided this central question that that you've heard a lot about the polling on, which is, what should we do about the 11 million undocumented immigrants who are now living in the United States? But that group evasion strategy really collapsed after the former Speaker, Newt Gingrich, broke ranks and answered quite directly the question, declaring that we're not, as Lynn indicated, that we're not going to deport every undocumented worker in this country. Instead, he proposed this idea of granting guest worker status to a small number of undocumented workers who've been here for decades. That, in turn, forced some of the other candidates more out into the open and to clarify their positions on what to do with the 11 million. Representative Bachman doubled down, clarified that she does support, in fact, mass deportation. Texas Governor Rick Perry secured the endorsement of and hit the campaign trail immediately with the now infamous Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and Perry declared that his policy will be consistent with Sheriff Joe's to detain and deport every illegal alien that we apprehend. Former Massachusetts Governor, Mitt Romney, who, as Angie noted at the outset, was endorsed by Sheriff Joe during the last presidential cycle, outlined a position known in anti-immigrant circles as attrition through enforcement, which is really just a slightly less extreme or crazy way to say mass deportation. Now much has been much effort has been made to really juxtapose Bachman, Perry, and Romney's positions against Gingrich's. Romney and Bachman have charged the former speaker as supporting amnesty. Perry, meanwhile, has loosely sided with Gingrich, and Gingrich has called his proposal realistic, compassionate, and humane. Now, the reality is that despite the differences in rhetoric, and the rhetoric, of course, does matter, but the substantive differences in their current proposals are minimal. And I say current because there has been a lot of shape-shifting or outright flip-flopping by these individuals about their positions. But at this juncture, each of them, in varying degrees, supports some form of mass deportation. Now, that might give you pause because Gingrich has been held up as offering a different approach, again, as Lynn suggested. But what's he really proposing? He's argued that people have been in the United States for 25 years and can demonstrate deep ties and contributions to their communities should be eligible to apply for what he dubs citizens review committees, or two citizens review committees. Bill Keller recently, as I think aptly, renamed those committees the Neighborhood Watch from Hell, but only really an exceedingly small portion of the current undocumented population would be able to pass the immigrant fitness test that Mr. Gingrich has outlined. To gain legal status, they would have to demonstrate employment income sufficient to pay for private health insurance. Yes, in this country, private health insurance, in addition to a $5,000 fine. Now, that alone would disqualify many or most Americans, but those few who can make it through that gauntlet and can show the income threshold would be barred from ever pursuing U.S. citizenship or ever receiving federal benefits. They would also still be in a really highly precarious position. If they lose their job, they lose their legal status. So the number of people who might qualify really appears to be vanishingly small, and those who did would only earn a status marginally more secure than having none at all. But what about those who don't qualify? Well, all the leading candidates appear to be in lockstep agreement on that front. As Gingrich himself has made clear, anyone not falling into his small universe of exceptions would be subject to harsh, expedited deportation procedures. All of the candidates have argued that we've got to secure the border first. As Matt just was telling us, that's not necessarily a winning position with the American public. And they've also praised the extremely harsh state-based immigration laws. Gingrich went so far recently, again in the wake of his call for the Citizens Review Committees, he went so far as to call on all states to replicate the disastrous Arizona and Alabama experiment. Like Romney and Bachman, Gingrich, of course, also has pledged to build this double-layer fencing across the entire U.S.-Mexico border. So the reality is that while Gingrich has not really embraced Romney and Bachman's universal deportation strategy, he has advanced his own mass deportation strategy. And the question becomes, and the one that we're kind of asking and answering here today, is how do these positions square with the public's attitudes on immigration? And I think the short answer is that they don't. Happy to take any questions on the policy of the various candidates, but with that, I'll turn it over to you, Angie.
Thanks very much, Marshall. Rachel, operator, if you're on the line, could you please give folks instructions on how they can queue up to ask a question? Rachel, are you there? Is anyone there from the conference call company?
Yes, please press star 1 to ask a question. Your first question is from the line of David Moberg from In These Times.
Hi. Thanks for having the conference. And this is a question for anyone. Would you judge that the Republican candidates this time around represent a move in a rightward or more draconian direction? And given the statistics you've given on polling, why do you think that they are taking such a hardline position?
All right. Matt, you want to start on the first one, or are they going draconian?
Yeah,
and then we'll all take a crack at why, what our best theory is on why they're doing it.
I think you've seen this, for at least one other cycle. I mean, last time around in 2008, we can't forget that we had Tom Tancredo and Duncan Hunter in the contest who were really pushing very hard on the anti-immigrant rhetoric, and you had candidates really accusing each other of helping undocumented immigrants as though that was a big stain on their campaign. Fred Thompson as well made some very disparaging comments about Spanish language being spoken. So I think it's been here for, a couple of cycles now. It's something that is really unfortunate because the overwhelming majority of the general public not only rejects that mean-spirited rhetoric, but also those policy positions. Certainly there's been some response to the growth during the 1990s and into the 2000s of the Latino as well as Asian populations, which have been growing at a faster rate than the general public.
All right, thanks, Matt. Lynn, I don't know if you have anything to add, and also if we want to take a crack at why do we think Republicans are doing this. On that, I'll just add that there's been a very clear and unfortunate trajectory on this issue where Republicans, this issue was bipartisan for a very long time. As recently as 2006, 23 Republicans in the Senate voted for a comprehensive immigration reform bill that would have legalized most of the unauthorized immigrants in this country. One of the key leaders of that was John McCain, who then walked away from his positions in the 2006 and 2007 debate when he was running for president. And similarly, Lindsey Graham, who a very prominent Republican from South Carolina, has made the same kind of an about-face. And then you see when the candidates talk about this issue in very harsh and frankly disrespectful ways, and the people behind the issue, they get big applause lines. But who they're talking to at that moment are the far-right base. There'll be a day of reckoning, though, for these candidates because the demographics are changing dramatically, and frankly, demographics are destiny if you're a politician. And it's not going away, as Matt has said, that's favorable. So I just think it's a matter of time. And in the meantime, Republicans are, as I always say, drinking a slow poison, and it will eventually kill them. But Lynn or Marshall, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, I want to say just that I think the illegal immigration wedge issue is should be declared dead. Republicans have, there have been at least four election cycles where they've been trying to use it and it hasn't been working. And I think it's time to recognize that and move on. And what I was trying to do in kind of parsing some of the polls earlier is to explain, you know, to politicians of both parties that you don't have to be either for immigration or against immigration reform. You don't have to be for enforcement or for liberalization. You actually can be for a policy that Americans want and be for it all. And that's what Americans want to see their politicians doing in Washington is solving the problem through the right way to do it.
Great. Anything else, Marshall?
Super quick. Sorry, I was on mute. The only thing I would add is that, you know, I think the calculus is that that these candidates feel like they're between a primary rock and a general election hard place. They think that they are stuck having to have this rightward tilt in order to get nominated. And, the question is that an accurate assumption? But while they're doing that, as Matt and Lynn have detailed, it really kind of digs they're digging their own grave for the general election. I think some of the recent polling, what's so interesting is about where Republicans are on, the Republican voters are on this issue, and it suggests that they're not necessarily, making a wise calculation in terms of what they need to do to win primaries, because Republican voters are, as Lynn said, largely supportive of more sensible, reasonable both-and approaches rather than just harsh enforcement.
Operator, are there any more questions, or can you remind people how to queue up for a question, please?
Of course. To ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And your next question is from the line of Juan Esparza, Vida Envalle.
Yes, my question is, of the declared Republican candidates, is there one of them that is has a position that's more favorable to a sensible solution that takes into account enforcement and a path to residency or citizenship for those that are here as undocumented?
Marshall, you want to answer that? I think it's an easy answer.
Sure.
No?
Sure. I don't think there's not a whole lot of daylight between any of the candidates. Certainly, I think Newt has tried to change the tone about, Newt Gingrich has tried to change the tone in terms of how he's talking about him. I think, if you look over time, even though Perry has kind of continued to tilt rightward, and the fact that he's been, campaigning with and actively sought the endorsement of one of the most extreme anti-immigrant politicians in this country, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, his general position as a kind of Texas border as a border governor kind of a Texas politician who sees this thing, he sees these issues a little differently, has been a little bit more favorable, a little bit less extreme. But even he has been kind of swept along, with this kind of anti-immigrant current that has taken the Republican presidential hopefuls off course. So it's hard to say. Of the one, and again, we're talking about the leading candidates, because John Huntsman, who is also still one of the, among the candidates, has articulated a considerably more thoughtful and frankly responsible position on this, but he doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot of traction right now.
Great. Thank you, Marshall.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have no questions at this time.
All right, I want to thank everybody for participating, most especially the speakers. And if there's any follow-up questions that people have, please feel free to give a call to the number on the advisory. Thank you all very much.